Okay, ladies and gentlemen, moving right along. This is the main speaker portion of our meeting, and I just wanted to say a couple of things about the gentleman that I asked to carry a message for us tonight in the capacity as a main speaker. I had the pleasure of hearing this gentleman share in Erie, Pennsylvania. My sponsor and I went up because my sponsor had a speaking commitment up there, and it was like a four-hour drive. And after my sponsor got finished speaking, we heard a couple other people speak, and we started the debate, because if we had left at that time, we would have made it back home, you know, shortly after 12. But something told us that we needed to stick around. So we made a conscious decision to stay and hear the last speaker. And this gentleman happened to be the last speaker, and it was truly a blessing that we did. After he was finished speaking, my sponsor and myself, we can only say one thing about what he shared. And what we said was that he put out a hit on the disease of addiction. We drove 4 hours discussing, talking about, sharing what we heard that man share that night. And since then, I formed a relationship with this gentleman, and he's part of my support group. We talk on a regular basis. He's one of the most spiritual people that I know, and he's also one of the most uncut, raw people I know. He told me at one time that he likes his recovery like he likes his dope, uncut and pure as he can get it, you know, and he said in that manner it keeps him clean. Without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you Mr. Lindsey H. I'm not sure what his home group is, but I know he's from the Pittsburgh area, so he's local. Lindsey H.
Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. I want to thank the Unity Retreat Committee for giving me an opportunity to come up here in God's country to speak to God's people in God's place. Before I get started, I want to get something out the way to the newcomer or to those who may still be struggling with the disease of addiction. An addict, any addict, can stop using drugs. I don't think that hurt me, Tommy. I said an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. A thief, any thief, can stop stealing, lose the desire to take your shit, and find a new way to live. A hoe can stop tricking, lose the desire to trick, and find a new way to live. A dope dealer can stop dealing dope, lose the desire to swing, and find a new way to live. Now, I'm not a politician, but my name is Lindsey H., and I approve this message. It says in our literature that my gratitude speaks when I care and I share the NA way. I was taught when I came into Narcotics Anonymous that gratitude is an action word. They said, Lindsay, it's not what you say, it's what you do. And I've come to find that over the years, that my predecessors, they didn't talk gratitude, they walked gratitude. You see, my gratitude speaks. When I come early and I stay late, my gratitude speaks. When I'm willing to stand at the door and greet somebody, hug somebody. Because the greeter at the door is one of the most important trusted servant positions in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. My gratitude speaks when I'm willing to take somebody, a newcomer, to the meeting. It speaks when I give a newcomer a basic check. It speaks when I bring some donuts or some cookies or some potato chips to a meeting. It speaks when I'm willing to get in a position to be an alternate trusted servant in the home group. Or when I'm willing to get involved with H&I, when I get 6 months clean. I want to say to you that if you have 6 months clean, I don't know what your sponsor told you. Don't know if he told you anything. But I'm going to tell you something. If you got 6 months clean, you need to be getting involved with H&I in your area. I didn't come from a detox. I didn't come from a rehab. I had to come straight into Narcotics Anonymous from the street. They told me when I came in here, they said, you can get busy living or you can get busy dying. It's your choice. And what happened is Narcotics Anonymous, the fellowship, the steps, the God of my understanding, you people, you were my therapists. You were my counselors. You were my caseworkers. You were the ones who gave me what I needed on a day-to-day basis in order to stay clean and start the process of recovery. You are responsible for saving my life. See, I am a product of your moment of silence when you said, you know, can we have a moment of silence for the still suffering addict inside and outside of the rooms? And I was outside of the rooms. You prayed me up into this camp. And because of my respect and my honor for this program and this fellowship, you know, when you love somebody and you know that they help save your life, you respect them. And you do anything you possibly can do to make sure that they are not threatened. And when you see someone threaten them, or you see that they're troubled, you do whatever you can in order to eliminate the threat. So, as I speak this evening, you know what I mean? I'm very uncompromised, and I don't back up off this roof. So as I speak this evening, you may hear some things. I came to help somebody. You know, I didn't say I came to help everybody, because I know that everybody may not feel they need no help. But I came to help somebody. I came to convict some hearts. I came to permeate some spirits. It is my hope that God will speak through me. And when you leave this meeting tonight, you will not leave feeling or thinking the same way you came in to this meeting. They told me when I came in here, you walk gratitude, Lindsay. You don't talk it. It's kind of like something that one of our former presidents said, JFK. I've twisted a little bit. It's not what Narcotics Anonymous can do for me. It's what I can do for Narcotics Anonymous. I was told if you tend your garden, you'll be able to eat from its fruit. So I learned a long time ago. They said, Lindsay, if you be good to Narcotics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous will be good to you. This is a retreat. I got the flyer, I looked at it, and certain words jumped out at me. The word retreat jumped out. I know what that means. That means to withdraw. That means to back up. That means to take it easy. Give yourself a break. Get away from the hustle and the bustle, you know what I'm saying, of your daily routine. Get away from the rat race. come up into God's country and retreat and reflect and pray and examine oneself. And I learned that what we need to do is examine ourselves personally, and what we need to do is we need to examine ourselves concertedly. We need to examine ourselves as individuals. We need to examine ourselves as a group. So this is an opportunity for us, the different areas, the different groups, to come up here and take a look at ourselves. Reflect on some things. Because the 10th step tells me that there's always room for improvement. Always room. It says in our literature that there's one thing more than anything else. One thing that will defeat us in our recovery, and that's an attitude. They didn't say an emotion. They didn't say a feeling. They said an attitude of indifference and intolerance towards spiritual principles. It also says in the literature that recovery is an active change in attitudes, and attitudes a fixed idea, an active change in my attitude, my ideas, and my behaviors. I want to speak first to the fellowship. Now, it says that we keep what we have only with vigilance. That means stay awake, be watchful. Don't sleep, because the disease of addiction will creep up on us individuals and creep us upon us as groups. It comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So we must be watchful. It says in our first tradition that our common welfare should come first. And what I found out about, you know, as I studied the literature, a lot of times we say things. When I came into Narcotics Anonymous as a newcomer, you know what I mean? I was beat up from the street up, toe up from the floor up. Crack cocaine had beat me like I stole some government meat. And you said a lot of things, and I nodded and shook my head, but I didn't know what you were talking about. And my predecessors told me, you get a basic text and you get a dictionary. Because there are some words in there you think you may know, you don't know. I didn't know what they meant when you said common welfare. But in a dictionary, it says common welfare is that which benefits everybody. It benefits us all. Not just one person or a favored few. So we say our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. That's what this retreat is all about. It's about us reflecting on our unity. And the fact of the matter is, we come from a society where there's a lot of disunity, and there's disunity. There is disunity in the fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. There are old timers that say, well, NA is okay, and everything's all right, and it's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Well, no, it ain't. No, it ain't. It is not exactly the way it's supposed to be. Okay? There are some issues in Narcotics Anonymous. I've been around here long enough to see some changes occur in Narcotics Anonymous, and that's the chip. You know, like I told you, I come raw, uncut, uncensored. I ain't okay with some of the changes that I've seen in Narcotics Anonymous, because all good ideas are not God ideas. You see, the good is often the enemy of the best. So our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on inner unity. But there are groups in various areas struggling to keep their doors open. They're struggling. They can't pay rent. They can't buy literature. Why? What's the basket for? Newcomers don't know what the basket is for. Because a lot of old timers ain't teaching them what the basket's for. So they don't know. Now, it's not because we don't got money, because we got money. So I done been to too many meetings. I done seen too many Lexuses, you know what I'm saying? BMWs, you know what I mean? I done seen too many, you know, rings on your fingers and bells on your toes. You know what I mean? And bling, bling here and bling, bling there. And your women got those expensive tattoos on the crack of your behind. I done seen. I know we got money. So we ain't struggling because we lack loot. We got loot. We just ain't willing to practice the principle of generosity. That is a spiritual principle. You see, we still practicing that street thing, you know what I'm saying? You get yours, I got mine. We don't want to put no money in the basket. I've said it before. You know, I've seen men, they won't put no money in the basket. But they'll give a newcomer $8 to give them a BJ in the back seat of their car, you know what I'm saying? But you won't put $2 in the basket, you cheap trick. You cheap trick. I've seen it. And I tell it exactly like it is. Struggling. Trusted servant positions open. Many trusted servant positions. On the group level. On the area level. We are some of the most creative, innovative, intelligent individuals on the face of the earth. Look at what we've been through. Look where God has brought us from. So why are trusted servant positions open? Why don't groups have individuals who are willing to step up and fill a GSR position? A secretary's position. You know, I didn't say treasurer position because I know how some of us deal with the money. You know how we are still about the money. But why aren't we willing to step up? Could it be because some of us are unwilling, indifferent, and intolerant? You know what they say in the basic text, that two of our inherent enemies are apathy and procrastination. And it says complacency is the enemy of addicts with substantial cling time. So if indifference and intolerance towards spiritual principles is one of those things that will defeat me, and then I'm dealing with apathy and procrastination, and I'm dealing with complacency, then it's an inside job. I don't got to concern myself with what will create problems for me outside of me. I got indifference, intolerance, apathy, procrastination, and complacency. Those basically are tools of the disease of addiction. They're working all the time. And what do? They cause us to violate. They cause us to neglect the principles of the traditions. So they're are trusted servant positions that are open, and they should not be. I say this to you, I say this to us. We need to do an inventory. We need to take a look at ourselves, and we need to ask ourselves, what am I doing to contribute to Narcotics Anonymous? What am I doing in my home group to help to enhance the atmosphere of recovery in my home group? Am I a person who's loving, caring, kind, or am I divisive? Am I constantly taking people's inventories? Am I a gossiper, character assassinator? We need to take a look at ourselves as individuals, and we need to take a look at ourselves as groups. Because there are cracks, and there are difficulties. And we need to concern ourselves with that addict who has not yet surrendered, but we'll be coming into Narcotics Anonymous in due time. And we need to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we ready for that addict? Are we stable? Are we standing on solid ground? In many cases, we're not. Our reputation is tainted. There are individuals inside the fellowship who are disappointed and disillusioned with our reputation. In certain areas, we're considered a social club. Some people call us a meat market. You know what I mean? Fashion show. Area services, area service. And we wonder why people come into the program. And they don't want to go and serve on the area level. I wouldn't either. If someone told me, well, you know, I'm getting ready to go to area service. Okay, I'm not trying to go nowhere there's a bunch of clowns. Should I come out of that? that three-ring circus. You know, I ain't trying to be. I'm not trying. This is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about just some work that we need to do as individuals. You know what I mean? How am I contributing to Narcotics Anonymous? Like I said, what am I doing for Narcotics Anonymous? Narcotics Anonymous is already done what Narcotics Anonymous is going to do for me. But what am I willing to do? You know what I mean? I was told if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. So what am I standing for? What am I doing? You know what I mean? To help this fellowship. It's struggling in some ways. Maybe, just maybe, the reason why we're struggling is because we compromise the fifth tradition. Because the fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. And that's to carry the message to the addict that still suffers. It didn't say to carry the mess. It didn't say to carry the addict. Because a lot of times, you know, we carry everything in here but the message. We carry a lot of mess. I hear things. Sometimes, I tell you, you know, I was talking to my girl Wendy earlier, and I tell you, there's times when I hear, I was taught, don't cross talk. You know what I mean? But there are times I hear things in meetings, it's hard for me to sit from prayer to prayer. See, I'm one of the type of guys who, I'm not going to, see, there are individuals who won't share with you the way they really feel. They'll just leave the fellowship. I'm not going to leave the fellowship. I'm going to share with you what I see. I'm going to share with you what I experience. I'm going to share with you the message. And I'm going to share with you the way they share with me. Because they wasn't playing. When I came around, they wasn't playing. They would let you know, look, this is the way it is, and it's the way it's going to be. They didn't suggest anything to me. Because they knew that I was undisciplined. And you don't give suggestions to undisciplined people. You give them direction. They didn't tell me. It wasn't like, well, listen, Lynn's like, you think you might be able to meet me at this meeting? No, look here. My sponsor said, you will meet me here, okay? And you will read this page in the basic text. And I said page 65. I didn't say page 64. And I didn't say page 63. You will read page 65. And I'll see you tomorrow night. Because you ain't got shit to do. Got nothing to do. You're acting like you're so busy. You got nothing to do. I said, well, my sponsors, come early, stay late. Well, why should I come early? Why? I'm saying to come early because, you know, when you come early, you, number one, you can help the chairperson set up the meeting and it causes you to feel a part of. And number two, you might have some things that you need to discuss that are not appropriate or are too sensitive for you to discuss at the meeting. So you come early and you can share some stuff that you might have not been able to share with anybody. And you stay late so you can help tear the meeting down and just maybe some predecessor or someone with significant time will take you somewhere to get something to eat. But they took me to get something to eat. They took me to Wendy's and Eaton Parks and stuff and after the meeting because I didn't have no money. You know what I mean? When I came in here, you know what I mean? My eyes was big as spotlights. I was sweating. Pockets was kissing each other in the back. You know what I mean? So they took me out because they knew that, like, you know, I was hungry. They could tell. I looked like a black scarecrow up in this camp. You know what I'm saying? So they took me out, and then they would say, well, look, we'd get to Eaton Park, and they would say, you know what I mean, the waitress would come by, help you, please. And they'd say, well, get him what he wants. I said, I'm all right. They said, you are not all right. You're not okay. You ain't okay. You know what I mean? I heard your stomach growling in the meeting. We couldn't even hear the readings being read for your stomach growling. So you are not okay. Get something to eat, boy. Would that be? They were trying to tell me, look, now, all that old pride and ego, look, you hungry, fella. We know you hungry. Okay? So get something to eat. Okay, we want to feed you physically first, because we're getting ready to feed you spiritually. We got to do some things. We do. As individuals in this fellowship. I want to speak to the members in the fellowship who have substantial clean time in the book. Tradition 2. It says, for our group purpose. Now, I'm talking to those that got substantial clean time. Now, I don't know what your definition of substantial clean time is, but to those who are not newcomers, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. Our loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Now, this has a direct relationship to this book, our concepts. The fourth concept. It says effective leadership, effective, is highly valued in Narcotics Anonymous. Leadership qualities should be carefully considered when selecting trusted servants. Now, it says that our personal background and professional educational qualifications, though helpful, do not necessarily make for effective leadership. When selecting trusted servants, after all, it's the whole person we trust, not just their skills. And one of the first things we look for with selecting trusted servants is humility. It goes on to say, good NA leaders do not think that they have to do everything themselves. They ask for help. They ask for advice. They ask for direction on a regular basis. Our fellowship leaders ought not be dictators or order givers. Or they shouldn't serve with an arrogant mandate or demanding conformity. Now, in the second tradition, it says that, you know, in Narcotics Anonymous, we rely on the loving God. And it goes on to say that we must constantly be on guard that our decisions are truly expression of God's will, and there's often a vast difference between group conscience and group opinion as dictated by powerful personalities, which is just a tactful, diplomatic way of talking about bullies in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. So there are powerful personalities in Narcotics Anonymous. I call them bullies. You know what I mean? Terrorists. You know what I mean? They'll take meetings hostage and stuff like that. But I'm going to talk about that a little later. But there are powerful personalities in Narcotics Anonymous. And there's popularity. There's celebrities in Narcotics Anonymous. Or so we think we are. And we have to be careful if it says we got to constantly be on guard that our decisions are truly an expression of God's will because we're human. And many of us have never been in a leadership position before. You know what I'm saying? And when you basically, you know, like, you vote somebody in to be chair, just that word, chair. This is an individual that ain't never been in any kind of professional capacity. And you tell them that they're a chairperson? Or they're on the board of directors? Oh, Lord have mercy. There ain't no telling what might come out their mouth and their spirit. Powerful personalities. We got to be very, very careful. Those of us who are trusted servants, that we do not allow our powerful personalities and our popularity to run rampant. It says it in the book. It says, we must remember that offices have been placed in trust and that we are trusted servants and that in no time do any of us govern, that Narcotics Anonymous is a God-given program and we can maintain our group in dignity only with group conscience and God's love. Only. So to those of us who have double-digit clean time, a significant clean time, this tradition, it applies to us in service. There's a lot of things that I could speak about this evening, but when I pray, and I do a lot of 11-step work, when I pray and I ask God, what do you want me to share? So I want you to share about the traditions, how you were taught the traditions, how you live the traditions, and what you've seen happen when individuals live the traditions. And you see that when individuals are living in traditions, you know what I mean, they keep our groups alive and free. And when you don't live the traditions, when the group is not applying the traditions, what happens? The group becomes dead and in bondage. Period. And a lot of groups are struggling. They're dead, and they're in bondage because the traditions are not being applied to the group. How come to help somebody? To the newcomer. It says in tradition 3, but the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Now it says, in our stories, in our experience of trying to carry the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers, one painful fact of life has emerged time and time again. And it's an addict who does not want to stop using. They ain't going to stop using. If you want to continue to smoke crack, you're going to keep smoking crack. You want to continue to pop Oxycontin, shoot dope in your arm. You want to continue to trick. You know what I mean? You want to continue to rob people. You know, you want to lie and cheat. You're going to keep doing that shit until you get ready to stop doing that shit. I am not trying to force feed you nothing. You have a right and privilege. You know what I mean? To keep doing that crash dummy shit. That's your right and that's your privilege. That's what this book tells me. But if you have the desire to stop, you're not stopping. And it tells me that you can be analyzed, counseled, reasoned with, prayed over. We can lay our hands on you, sprinkle you with holy water. We can threaten you and beat your ass up. The judge can threaten to give you 10-15 years in Brentford. Rock you. But if you do not want to stop getting high, you are not going to stop getting high. I'm going to say this to the newcomer. That's why I said, I'm not going to force feed an individual. I give everybody their freedom. I'm here for you. But if you don't want to stop, you're not going to stop. You are a free moral agent. You have the right to do what you do. But this is what this tells me. You won't stop. But it also tells me that if you have the desire to stop using, miracles can happen. Like that book that they were giving away in the raffle. Miracles can happen if you have the desire to stop using. It tells me, this tradition tells me, I am not God, I cannot judge your desire. So a person can use like every week and come back in here and pick up a 24-hour tea tag. I might not like it. But the fact of the matter is, I cannot judge their desire. You cannot judge someone else's desire. The only one that can judge desire is God. Why? Because desire lives in the heart. And He's the only one that can judge desire. And because of that, it tells me that I have no right to discriminate against anybody who wants to be a member of Narcotics Anonymous. Some of us get caught up in, you know what I'm saying, that person don't want to get clean, and look at what they're doing, and look at where they've been. It don't matter. We are not afraid of you. You don't intimidate us. If Hannibal Lecter wants to become a member of Narcotics Anonymous, you cannot keep him out. You cannot keep Hannibal Lecter from becoming a member of your home group. Now, I would not suggest that you go out to lunch or dinner with him. You know what I'm saying? But you know, you can't keep him out. You can't. If Jeffrey Dahmer wanted to be a member, you know what I'm saying? Now, regardless of what he might have in his refrigerator, you can't keep him out. That's what this tradition is saying. I can't discriminate against any addict who wants to be a member. It keeps me on point. It keeps that pride and that ego and that intolerance for others in check. That's why these traditions are, as it says there, they're non-negotiable. They keep our fellowship alive and free. So I want to say that to the newcomer. The only requirement for membership, the only one, desire to stop using. But I want to give you some tips to the newcomer. Let's have some fun. I have a disease. It's cutting, baffling, powerful, it's progressive, incurable, and it's fatal. But my disease is not out in the parking lot doing push-ups. I want you to understand this. Diseases do not do calisthenics. Now, you might have heard, you might have heard somebody say, my disease is out in the parking lot doing push-ups, or my disease was sitting on the edge of the bed waiting for me to get up this morning. My disease does not belong to a gym. It doesn't do wind sprints. It doesn't do jumping jacks. It's a disease. We say some, Nick, you know what? We say some stuff, that clever stuff. It's clever. But it's misinformation. And as a newcomer, I need to hear accurate information. If any one of you have a disease that has a membership to some type of... Please, or if it's doing jumping jacks in the parking lot, please, get me up off the meeting. I want to see that shit. I have never seen it. To the newcomer number two. A sponsee cannot fire a sponsor. You didn't hire him. How are you going to fire him? How are you going to fire somebody that you didn't hire? We talk crazy. I fired my sponsor. I wish one of my sponsees who I used to sponsor, I wish I would hear that they said they fired me. Because what I want my money. You see what I mean? I want my loot. Because when you're fired, I want my severance pay, workman's comp. You owe me some money. You fired me, don't call. I don't want to revert back. Give me my loot. Now, you fired me, you owe me some loot. Now, we can say some stuff sometime, man, it's just ludicrous. But my point that I'm making is when the newcomer comes in here, the newcomer don't know. They don't know Narcotics Anonymous. And it's important. We have fun, but we got to make sure we don't give them inaccurate information, because you know what we do. We come in. I came in. I had low self-esteem, low self-worth. I wanted to be seen. I wanted to be noted. So what I want to do, I'm going to pick up clever things in this meeting and carry it to other meetings. And what was I doing? I was dispensing inaccurate information. I love Clean Time Countdown, bruh, because Clean Time Countdown says, does anybody got 8 years? Because see, what happens, I used to say it, I would basically have 2 years clean when I had two, and somebody would say, well, Lance, how much time you got? And I said, well, I'm going on 3 years. I'm coming up on 3 years. Old timer put me to the side. He said, I didn't ask you what you was coming up on. So I asked you how much time you got. You got 2 years? I say you got 2 years. Because by God's grace, I got 16. Okay, May 5th, I had 16. But on May 6th, I was coming up on 17. You know how we do. I am qualified. I came in, I was a hopeless crack addict. And I had those white, like, blisters on my mouth from hitting those hot crack pipes. You know what I'm saying? Those metal pipes. I know a lot of you in here probably had swans and stuff like that, and straight shooters. I didn't. I had those hot metal pipes. They were about this big. You know what I'm saying? They burnt my lips, and I had them white blisters on my lips. I tripped with some of the most scandalous prostitutes. I'd like to say they all looked like Halle Berry. They didn't. They were scandalous. But I was more scandalous than them because I tricked with them. See, I learned a long time ago, early in recovery, a woman told me, she said, Lindsay, we can't sell nothing y'all don't buy. Okay, so when you start talking about, how we are, how we are. Just remember, you tricked with us. Okay, so put the focus on yourself. So no, they were not the type of girls you want to take to your mama's house. I messed up a lot of people's high. You know. You know. Peeping, you know. Looking for, you know, DEA and you know, feds, you know. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like they were outside basically getting ready to bust into the crib, okay, to get my little kibbles and bits that I have on the table. You know what I'm saying? You would have thought I had keys in the closet. You know, I had kibbles and my boy had bits, but you'd have thought, you know what I'm saying, we had pounds of cocaine by the way I was acting. And I was a carpet dweller, as my boy Dougie was saying. I heard him, I was always putting, it didn't matter, rice, peanuts, lint, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, if it was white or light brown, I put it in the pipe. I always got down on the floor. Always. You know what I'm saying? It just got to the point where, like, when I first started to, like, break up the crap, I just knocked some on the floor intentionally. I just knocked some on the floor because I knew that, like, after this was gone, I was going to be on the floor. At least there would be something down there for me to pick up that was cracked to put in the pot. Insane. I use drugs too much, too long, too often. Sponsorship. Now, the name of this is Each One, Reach One. Therapeutic value of one addict helping another. It says in this pamphlet that sponsorship is the heart of the NA way of recovery from addiction. It's the heart. It's the center. The definition is the central part, the vital part, the main part, the center, the source, the core. That's what the heart is. It's the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Now, it doesn't take a doctor to know that if my liver fails or my kidneys fail or I become brain dead, I can survive. But if my heart stops beating, the body dies. And I've been saying a long time ago, and I've heard a lot of predecessors say it, and a lot of old-timers say it, Narcotics Anonymous has a heart problem. It has a heart problem. It has a sponsorship problem. There are a lot of people who don't want to hear that, but it has a sponsorship problem. I spoke in 2001, you know what I mean, at Start to Live, passed the Pittsburgh Convention. They gave me the topic, Killers on the Loose. And I spoke about incompetent sponsorship. And somebody on the committee did not like what I had to say. And they didn't let me speak for 7 years. They blackballed a brother. Because I talked about incompetent sponsorship. Now, I look at the word incompetent, and it means lacking in ability. Well, when it comes to working on a car, I'm incompetent. Computers, I'm incompetent. What does it mean? It means you don't know what you're doing. That's what it means. You don't know what you're doing. Don't get mad. It says a sponsor is a recovering addict in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, someone that we can trust to share our life experiences with. It is suggested that a sponsor be someone who has practice in working the 12 steps and is involved in the program. Primarily, a sponsor is a guide through the 12 steps of recovery. But they told me early, Lindsay, you can't guide someone somewhere you've never been. So if you're only on the second step, okay, and you don't want to move off the second step, and you're sponsoring somebody who's on the first step, they will never get to the third step because you're not going to let them pass you up. It tells newcomers, choose someone who has a firm grasp on the 12 suggested steps of recovery in Narcotics Anonymous. Someone who seems reasonably happy, has a willingness to help other recovering addicts. But it says choose someone. It tells the newcomer, like, you know, if you don't know okay, what to look for in a sponsor. It tells you to choose someone who has a firm grasp on the suggested 12 steps of recovery. Now, this pamphlet was written in 83. I was in L.A. getting high. I had nothing to do with writing this pamphlet. So don't get mad at me. And let me do this. But it says a sponsor is primarily a guide to the 12 steps. And that's basically what my sponsor told me. Like, you're not working steps, Lens. Okay, this ain't no play. This ain't no joke. When someone asks you to sponsor them, what they're doing is they are one of God's children, and they are asking you to help them through God's principles. This is life or death. Don't play with this. I hear people say, I sponsor 30 people. How? How do you sponsor 30 people? You got a wife? You got kids? You got a job? You got a business on the side, and you sponsor 30 people. How do you sponsor 30 people? I was always told that, like, I can only sponsor the number of people who I can give the full benefit of my time. If I cannot give you the full benefit of my time, if I can't sit down with you, and I can't get in the book with you, and go through the book, and go over the steps, it ain't just about just go to meetings and don't take nothing. I don't need a sponsor to tell me that. I need a sponsor to sit down with me and help me work these spiritual principles. And talk to me, and we'll sit down with the literature. That's sponsorship. Now, my sponsor told me there was meeting etiquette. There's etiquette. Some people think you can do anything you want to do in Narcotics Anonymous. No, you can't. No, you can't. Singleness of purpose, meeting etiquette. What does that mean? That, like, in Narcotics Anonymous, I identify as an addict. Not as an addict and an alcoholic. You know what I mean? Not as a cross addicted. You know what I mean? Not my name is Lindsay and the problem's me. You understand? You know what I mean? You understand me? You know what I mean? My name's Janie, and I'm a hoe. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. Janie, don't identify like that. There's a lot of tricks out there. You know what I'm saying? Don't identify as a hoe. You don't want to do that. Just say you're an addict. That's all. We don't got to know that other stuff. You know, that's for another fellowship. You know what I'm saying? But in here, you identify as an addict and an addict only. Now, I know there's people who may say, well, I identify as an addict and an alcoholic. However, when you do that, that's not singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose, I identify as an addict. So when the newcomers come in here, they know they're in the right place. Okay, he's an addict. I can identify with that. But all that other stuff, cross addicted, I'm not addicted to crosses. Am I? I'm learning. Singleness of purpose. Number two, hostage taken. Taking a meeting hostage. You know what I mean? Sticking the meeting up. You don't do that. There are bullies in Narcotics Anonymous. They just got off the penitentiary. Some of them just got anger issues. They want to control stuff, manipulate, intimidate. They will hijack. They will hijack a discussion meeting. Just like that. You know what I'm saying? Just like that. Okay? Check this out. Okay? I'm going to share up in this camp for 15 minutes. You understand? Any of y'all got a problem with that? You know what I'm saying, bro? They'll hijack the meeting. And if you're a chairperson, this is why groups need to support chair people. Because when you groups go in and you have a group conscience and you say that, like, people are going to share for 3 to 5 minutes, okay? You mean 3 to 5 minutes. Yeah. And when that person takes the meeting hostage and the newcomer is afraid to shut them down because they might invite them in the parking lot, you have to support that chairperson. That chairperson's job is to enhance and maintain that atmosphere of recovery, okay? Our job as home group members is to support that person and protect that person and defend that person. You know what I'm saying? And set that down. You know what I mean? Another thing I was taught, you don't, Dr. Lindsay, you don't have to share on all three topics. Just one. How many times have you been to a meeting? You know what I'm saying? And somebody starts sharing. And you went to the bathroom. And you came back. And they were still sharing. And you went down the street, okay, and you got you a sandwich. And they came back. And they were still sharing. And then they got to a point, and they said, they took a deep breath. And then they looked at the chairperson. And they said, What are the other topics? I was told, like, Lindsay, if I'm a chairperson, you do that. I'm going to tell you that the other topic is sit down and shut the fuck up. That's the other topic. That's it. That's the other topic. Discussion meetings. When the topic is a topic, acceptance. Fifth step, okay? If I'm going to share, I'm supposed to share on the topic. Period. See, we go for a lot of stuff today, that back in the day, and there's predecessors in here right now, they will tell you they wasn't having it. Okay? If the topic, okay, is acceptance, and you can't share on acceptance. My name's Lindsay, I'm an addict. I can't share on acceptance, but because I need to share where I'm at. Their attitude is, we know where you're at. We know exactly where you're at, Dougie. You know it. We know where you're at. You in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting. That's where you're at. You know what I'm saying? And if you can't share on acceptance, then you listen, because you might learn something. So we let all kind of stuff go on in meetings today. And then when somebody tries to correct you, oh, man, you know what I'm saying? Eric think he's, you know, he think he's running something, man. He ain't trying to run nothing. He's trying to hip you before the disease of addiction clip you. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to keep the meeting alive and free. That's why we tell you, no, you can't share on that. I was in a meeting. Dude brought up the topic, what's up? That was about... He said, my name is James, man. Like, I want to hear something on what's up. I'm like, what the fuck? What's up? You're going to let... I'm looking at the chair. You're going to let that go? What's up? Prices. That's what's up. And then I'm saying to myself, who is his sponsor? Because back in the day... back in the day, we would tell your sponsor, if you were in a meeting, we would snitch on you. If you were in a meeting saying some crazy stuff, we would tell on you. We would tell your sponsor, man, your sponsor was in the meeting, man, talking real stupid. And then the sponsor would, I've had to pull some of my sponsors to the side and say, look here, boy, okay, I heard you were saying some stupid shit, okay, now check this out. Now, you know what I mean? You know, if you want me to sponsor you, there are certain things that you can't do. Plus, start with taking all them damn 24-hour key tags off your belt. I had this one who had like 20 white key tags hanging off of his belt. I was like, I am not sponsoring you with all them white key tags hanging off your belt like a chain. Okay? You know what I mean? Put some color in here. Put some orange or some red or something. I don't know you. Walking around in public with all these white key tags. Crazy, man. Crazy. Man, we do stuff. You know how we do. There is something right here. It's called Freedom from Prejudice. And it's a bulletin from World Service Narcotics Anonymous. And what it's dealing with is it's dealing with the fact that there was a World Service conference held, and one of the panels talked about prejudice in Narcotics Anonymous. And it says in here, under awareness, it says, we can't begin to change unless we're aware there's a need for change. And as addicts, we reflect the society we come from. We bring our racism and classism and sexism and all our other prejudices with us into recovery. And it goes on to say that when we can accept that we are indeed bigoted, without making any excuses, then we're ready to take action. And it's true. You know, yes, we come from a prejudiced society, and that does not mean, however, that we must remain forever bound by prejudice. Sensitive topic. Very few people will bring it up in a meeting or share about it. The fact of the matter is, there's prejudice in the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. Period. There's whites don't like blacks. Blacks don't like whites. Gay don't like straight. Straight don't like gay. Methodists don't like Baptists. Baptists don't like Methodists. You know what I mean? Rich don't like poor. Poor don't like rich. And it's easy of addiction is saying, I'm trying to kill all you motherfuckers. Okay. I'm trying to kill all y'all. You know what I'm saying? When keep focusing on differences. Okay, and not similarities, and I'm going to whack you one by one. Let us present this here. We just need to admit it. Sponsors need to address it. It's real. You know, it's no fake. Our literature. I came in, I was introduced to the literature with a little white book. This is what I was given. I was given a little white book and a meeting list. Okay, that's what I was given. I wasn't given the 12-step guide. I think the 12-step, there was no 12-step guide. There was no how and why it works. Those are great. That's great literature. But that's not the type of literature that a newcomer is supposed to feed off of when they first come in here. Little white book. They told me you crawl before you walk. It's humility. And you study the basic text. And you learn about that book. And you study that book. And you read that book. You know what I'm saying? Don't, you know what I mean? Giving a newcomer the flat book, which I'm talking about the 12-step guide, that's like trying to feed a newborn baby steak. They'll choke on it. They will choke on that. They don't need that. They need the basic text. You know, we want to get an advanced recovery. You know, we want to go straight to a PhD. You know, we don't want to graduate from high school. They said, get in this and get in this. And go to meetings. You know, we say a lot about spiritual, not religious. I was talking to a guy and early in recovery, I thought, you know, I said, where are you going? Man? I said, I'm going to church. You know what I'm saying? I practiced that. I've always was raised there. You know what I'm saying? But I continue to practice the principles of Lockhart's and all this. You know what I'm saying? They go hand in glove for me. But I said, I'm going to church. I said, you want to come with me? He said, no, I ain't coming. There's too many hypocrites there. I said, well, you know, we got to cheer for you. There's always room for one more. There's always room for one more, bro. You know what I'm saying? We can find a cheer for you. You know what I'm saying? You know, we'll find a seat for a brother, you know. But what? Sometime I think we take the spiritual, not religious thing a little bit too far. And what I sense, we focus on differences and not similarities. You know what I mean? When it comes to the fellowship in the church, check this out. They pray, we pray. They got a Bible, we got a basic text. They have a pulpit, we have a podium. They have a preacher, we have a lead speaker. They pass the basket, we pass the basket. They have altar call. We have clean time. They meet upstairs. We meet downstairs. You know what I'm saying? Well, I always say, God, dope fiend the dope fiend. You know what I'm saying? He's joking about. You know, people say to me, listen, I don't do church. I'd be like, bro, where you think you at, huh? You know what I'm saying? Where you think you at? We're just in the basement. They attend church once a week. We go 7 days a week, every day. So we need to start focusing on similarities and not differences. Because if our churches... If the churches, you know, we deal with them with cooperation, not affiliation. If our churches would stop allowing us to assemble, where would we meet? Where would we meet? Corporations ain't going to let us use their meeting spaces. They're not, you know what I mean? I can see us going to UPMC downtown Pittsburgh. You know, probably to the chair. But look here, I was wondering if we could have a Narcotics Anonymous meeting here. I'm sure he would say, well, you know what I'm saying? Right now, that room is being used. You know what I'm saying? We'll get back in contact with you, Andre. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority. A loving God as He may express Himself, and our group conscience, our leaders are but trusted servants. They do nothing. And number three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. What is the message? It's an addict. Any addict can stop using drugs. Lose the desire to use. And find a new way to live. My name is Lindsay Yates, and I approve this message. Thanks for letting me share.